Anybody too hot or too cold? Genesis, chapter 32. Amen when everybody's there. Genesis chapter 32, and we're going to start in verse 1. And Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, "This is God's host." And he called the name of the place Mahanaim. And Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau his brother, unto the land of Seir, the country of Edom. And he commanded them, saying, "Thus shall you speak unto my lord Esau. Thy servant Jacob saith thus, I have sojourned with Laban, and stayed there until now. And I have oxen and asses, flocks, men servants, woman servants. And I have sent to tell my lord, that I may find grace in thy sight." Father, we thank you for your word, Father. We thank you, God, that you are with us, Father. We thank you, God, that, God, you want us to dig deep into your scriptures. And Father, we just ask that you would open our hearts and our minds. And God, that your word would fall on good soil today, Father. And God, that we would just hear what your spirit is saying, Lord God. So God, we just give you the glory. We ask you to bless your word in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So here's Jacob, and how many know the story of Jacob? Well, Jacob has a history behind him. Jacob means what? Deceiver. And we know that Jacob had deceived his brother, and his brother was Esau. And how many times had he deceived Esau? Well, the first time was?
Stole his birthday.
Yeah, he was out hunting, right?
Yeah.
He was out hunting, worked up an appetite, and he thought he just had to have something to eat. Anybody ever been hungry? Thought that you just had to have something to eat? And he came in, and Jacob had brewed up a pot of stew there. Don't know what it was. It was something. But Esau thought it would really be good. And so it was like he was auctioning it off. Well, what do you give me? What do you give me for this bowl of stew? And I'll take your birthright. And so he gave Jacob his birthright. And Esau was the firstborn, right? And so he had the birthright there. And so for a bowl of stew, just something, a little bit that the flesh wanted, he gave up so much. But he didn't see it as valuable. So he just gave it up. And so the next time we see Esau, he had some help with that time, didn't he? His mother. And she came up with this grand plan that Israel was dying, right? And he wanted some venison. It's a good thing. And so Esau was the hunter. Jacob, he wasn't much of a hunter. So Esau went out to get some game, went to get some venison. And so while he was gone, the plan was Jacob. Now, Jacob was smooth. Esau was rough and tough, right? He sounded different than Jacob. And so, and Israel was, he was almost blind, couldn't see. And I guess that wasn't Israel. That was Isaac, wasn't it? That was Isaac. Isaac was Jacob's father. Jacob was Israel later on. Okay, so anyways, Isaac. Isaac was about blind, and he couldn't see. And so the game plan was, and his wife concocted this scheme, for Jacob to go in and take Isaac this bowl, once again, this bowl of, it was beef, it wasn't really venison, just take it in and give it to your father and tell him that you're Esau. And so he took this bowl in, he said, how come you're back so soon? Must be a really good hunter. Oh, I just went out there and God just brought this big buck in and I shot the buck and here's the venison. Something like that. And so he said, well, you don't sound like Esau. You sound like Jacob. And so they come up with this scheme that they would put this fur all over him and that Isaac could touch him. And, oh yeah, that feels like hairy Esau. And, of course, now he smelled like the animal, you know. And so, okay. And so he ate the, once again, the bowl of stew. And then Jacob said, well, how about blessing me? And so he was the firstborn, or so Isaac thought. And so he blessed him with the blessing of the firstborn. And so he just prophesied all this good stuff over Jacob that was really to go to Esau. And he just blessed him, he blessed him, he blessed him with all the good stuff. And so Esau came back, and he came in with his venison. Well, who are you? I'm Esau. And then he knew he'd been deceived. And so here's Esau, and what did he say? He said, I'm going to kill him. I'm going to kill Jacob. So Mama come up with another plan. Go to my brother Laban. Live with him till Esau's temperature comes down a little bit. Till the rage lowers. And then you can come back. Well, Jacob was how long with Laban? 40 years? 14? It was a long time. He was with Laban. And so now he's acquired a lot of animals. So now it's time to leave Laban and to come back. So he's coming back. And where we picked up was where the angels visited him. And now he's coming back to Esau. And what did he ask when he sent the messengers to him? What did he ask for? He sent gifts. He sent oxen. He sent sheep. He sent goats. He sent whatever. But what did he ask for? He asked for grace. That I may find grace. And he even called Esau his Lord. Tell my Lord And I have sent to tell my Lord that I may find grace in thy sight. So, did Jacob deserve grace? Did he deserve grace? He didn't deserve grace. Well, if he deserved it, would it be grace? See, grace to Jacob was a matter of life and death. Because, after all, Esau had said, I want to kill that guy. The title of the message, A Precious Commodity, Grace. So what is grace? How many have ever looked up the definition of grace? Boy, you can find all kinds of definitions of grace. Let me give you a few. Unmerited divine assistance given humans for their regeneration or sanctification. Grace, a virtue coming from God. Grace, a state of sanctification enjoyed through divine assistance. Favorable influence of God. Divine influence or influences of the Spirit in renewing the heart and restraining from sin. A lot of good stuff. Grace. Appropriately, the free, unmerited love and favor of God. Now get this. The spring and source of all the benefits men receive from Him. The spring and source of all the benefits men receive from Him. How many remember the scripture, not to forget the benefits? Grace, the primary sense of gratis, now get this, is free, ready, quick, willing, prompt, goodwill, kindness, disposition to oblige another. Well, that's a lot of stuff. Now think about it. This is the way God responds. Free, ready, quick, willing, prompt, goodwill, kindness, disposition to oblige another. That's pretty good. I like that response. I'm just going to give you two parts to this. Not going to give you 5 or 6 points or 7 points or 10 points or 20 points. Just two. How many like that? Everybody excited about two? I see some eyes light up. First thing we're going to look at is the grace of God. A man by the name of J. Gresham Machen said, the very center and core of the whole Bible is the doctrine of the grace of God. That's pretty powerful. The very center and core of the whole Bible is the doctrine of the grace of God. Grace is the most important concept in the Bible, Christianity, and the world. It's most clearly expressed in the promises of God revealed in Scripture and embodied in Jesus Christ. How many like the grace of God? How many have experienced the grace of God? How many times? Yeah, without end. Hallelujah. A prominent Old Testament word described God's grace as chesed. C-H-E-S-E-D. This word speaks of deliverance from enemies, affliction, or adversity. It also denotes enablement, daily guidance, forgiveness, and preservation. That's good stuff. Hallelujah. God's grace. Great. How many have ever been delivered? How many have ever been saved? How many have ever been healed? How many have ever been provided for? So much in God's grace. Amen? Hallelujah. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." That's the only way any of us are saved, by the grace of God. I'm thankful for God's grace. It wasn't, you know, "Well, God, you know, I really deserve it." God said, "But you know, God, I think I've been a pretty good person, you know." God did. It's only by His grace. Not that we deserve it, but it's His unmerited or undeserved favor. The favor of God. How many have ever prayed for God's favor? Man, every day we should be praying for favor. Glory to God. How many go out in the world? Everybody goes out in the world every day, right? And so when you go, do you think to pray for God's favor to be upon you? How many take God's word seriously? How many believe that God's commandments aren't an option? If He said do it, we're probably supposed to do it, right?
Correct.
Okay, so if he says, go into all the world, preach the gospel, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils, I think He probably means we're to do it. Right? Not when we get around to it. Not when we feel like it. But He just said, go do it. So how many know that when we go, we need His favor? It may sound pretty easy, but how many have gone out to share Jesus Christ with people? How many find it really, really easy? No matter where you're at, you can just share the gospel. Sometimes you're sort of intimidated, right? How about laying hands on the sick? Walmart? IGA? I guess that isn't anymore. That was yesterday. How about Save-A-Lot? How about Weiss? How about wherever? Do you really feel comfortable in saying to somebody, "Hey, can I pray for you?" And believe that God's going to heal them. Well, if you prayed for the favor of God, you should just go in confidence, right? Just believing that, hey, it's not about me, it's about Him. I'm just the mailman. I'm delivering the mail. I know. We get a lot of junk mail. Sometimes that's the way people receive stuff, right? But it's seeds. Even if they don't receive it, it's seeds. Amen? Hallelujah. By the grace of God, humans are given the gift of salvation. Not through any action on their own part. It's only the grace of God. It's not grace plus. There's nothing we can do. It's just God's grace. In John chapter 10, verse 9, Jesus said, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And shall go in and out and find pasture." Now, think about all these words in this verse. Jesus said, I'm the door. He said, I'm the only way in. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the door. If any man enters in by Jesus Christ, he'll be saved. And when we're saved, he said that we'll go in and out and find pasture. What's pasture? That's everything we need, right? That's all of our provision. That's everything we need. Now you have to understand the sheep and the shepherd. And the sheep was totally dependent on the shepherd. The shepherd would lead them to water, lead them to fresh pasture. And so Jesus said, you go in and you go out and you find pasture. But it's all by grace, right? Verse 10, the thief, I may know there's a thief looking for the sheep. The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And Jesus says, I am come. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. So, here's Jesus. He said, yeah, there's a thief. There's an adversary. He's the devil. And he's out to kill, steal, and destroy. But I've came that you might have life and have it even more abundantly. So how many like life? How many come out of death? Come on. When we was heathen, BC, before Christ, we was dead in sin. You know what the Bible says? We was dead in sin. We was in Egypt, in bondage, in slavery, and God brought us out. Hallelujah. Into life. And now that was by grace. And now abundant, more abundant life is more grace. And so God has this grace for us. How many are accessing all the grace of God? How many believe you access all the grace of God? I think there's a whole lot more. I believe there's a lot of grace that we just... You know, the more we understand what God has for us, the more we can access His grace, right? And He's just like... He says the gift of salvation. So, here's salvation. God's whole... It's coming up Christmas, right? Nice Christmas presents under the Christmas tree. And it's just like God said, here's salvation. Do you want it? Will you receive it? And so here's all the other things, and it's like gifts. Would you like this gift? Would you like this gift? Now you have to understand. Who can I demonstrate on? Who wants to be a guinea pig? Anybody want to be a guinea pig? Nobody. Nope. Rick will. Okay. Mighty man of God. Okay, now here's God. Not really. But here's God. He's got this gift. Now, see, you're not looking to give.
No.
You're looking to give. You see, God's just there. And it's like, He's not even speaking to you. But He's offering you the gift through His eyes. It makes a lot different, though, than just, oh, it's pretty.
Yeah.
But here's God, and it's offering. It's like, what do I have to do to entice you to receive what I have for you?
God's good.
Well, Father, amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
So God has all these gifts for us. And it's only by grace. It's not that we deserve them. Because I don't know about you, but I blow it probably every day. Mess up every day. Sometimes it seems like I'm a magnet. And Paul said, the things I don't want to do, I do. And the things I don't want to do, you know, or whatever. Well, that's the way it seems like some days, you know. Acts 4:33. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and great grace was upon them. Great grace. Boy, great grace. That's awesome. Hallelujah. Luke 2:40, and the child Jesus grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now, we've been listening to a CD, and it's talking about being strong in spirit. And how we can strengthen our spirit. And that's by getting the Word of God into us. The more we get into us, the Word of God, the more we understand God, how He feels about us, His thoughts, His plans, the stronger our spirit grows. And here's Jesus, and He grew and waxed strong in spirit. Boy, I want to be strong in spirit. And the grace of God was upon him. It's just like the more we get of God in us, the more grace we receive. So we love the grace of God, right? And we need the grace of God daily, right? Number two, Genesis 1:26, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. So here was the grace of God. Now, how about the grace of man? If we are made in God's image and in His likeness, in other words, we're supposed to be like Him, right? Have you ever needed someone to extend grace to you? I think we all have. How many have ever been going down the road in your vehicle and you, in your rear view mirror, the Christmas tree, the lights flashing? Anybody ever been there? I've been there. Man, one time I was up around Brookville. My mother was in a nursing home, and my mother-in-law was in intensive care. And so I was leaving the nursing home, heading for Du Bois on Interstate 80. And needless to say, the hammer was down. Well, not all the way, but pretty good. And lo and behold, radar. And of course, the lights come on. Grace! Well, he knocked it down a few, well, maybe 10 mile an hour faster than what I was. But, you know, need grace. Grace is most needed and best understood in the midst of sin, suffering, and brokenness. We live in a world of earning, deserving, and merit, and these result in judgment.
That's why everyone wants and needs grace. Judgment kills. Only grace makes alive. You know, every Sunday morning, I need for you guys to give me some grace. I don't have all these fancy degrees. I don't have these flowery phrases. I don't have this charisma, you know, like some of these guys do. So I just need some grace as I stumble through trying to pronounce some of these words in the Bible. Of course, you guys don't have that problem, but, you know. So I need grace every morning, every Sunday morning. In Hebrews 12:15, it says, "See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled." You know, the only way we can give grace is to have the grace of God flowing through us. Right? The New Living Version, I think that's, it says, "See that no one misses God's loving favor. Do not let wrong thoughts about others get started among you. If you do, many people will be turned to a life of sin." Ouch! Let me read that again. "See that no one misses God's loving favor. Do not let wrong thoughts about others get started among you. If you do, many people will be turned to a life of sin." That's pretty serious, isn't it? New Living Translation. "Look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many." Wow, so we need to watch out for each other so that we don't miss out on the grace of God? Well, we're part of the body, aren't we?
Yes.
Part of one another. So there's times when we need to encourage each other, you know, just to receive the grace of God. Phillips commentary puts it this way: "Let it be your ambition to live at peace with all men and to achieve holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Be careful that none of you fails to respond to the grace which God gives. For if he does, there can very easily, for if we fail to respond to the grace of God, there can very easily spring up in him a bitter spirit, which is not only bad in itself, but can also poison the lives of many others." So here's grace. God has grace, and we need to respond to it. Just like salvation. It's a gift, but we need to respond. We need to receive it, right? And so with the grace of God, God's grace, we need to respond. You know, the Bible says to be doers of the word and not hearers only. You know, there's action. And so when God offers us grace, if we don't respond to that, what does it benefit? Nothing. Matthew 10:8. "Freely you've received, freely give." How many have received God's free grace? Okay, we take this verse, and a lot of times we use it about money. Give freely, you know. But it's also, we can also say about grace. Freely you've received grace. It's like God says, grace is a treasure. I'm giving you a treasure.
You going to hoard it for yourself? Or are you willing to let it flow through to somebody else? How many want to be willing vessels? How many are willing to let God's grace just flow unhindered? See, there are things we can get in our lives that will hinder the flow of grace. We can have unforgiveness. We can have bitterness. We can have jealousy. We can have envy. We can have strife. So many things that will block the flow of grace from flowing. You know, every day when we go out, we may find somebody that needs grace. And maybe we're the only one that can give grace. You may have run across people and, boy, they just turn you off, right? But you don't know what kind of a day they're having. You don't know that maybe they just got a report from the doctor that wasn't good. We don't know. So we need to give grace. Luke 6:38 says, "Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet or you give out, it shall be measured to you again." So when you give out grace, you don't do it expecting anything in return, right? But it's just like automatically. In some way, you know, you may give grace out as helping somebody out financially or helping them out with work or something. But it don't always come back the same way. But it's like a boomerang. You know, you throw it out, and it's coming back. What's that? Cast your bread upon the waters, and after many days, it'll come back. Acts 20, verse 35. "Remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said it's more blessed to give than to receive." We all like to receive, and we all want grace, right? But Jesus said, there's more blessing in it when you give it than by just receiving. See, this Christian walk is just the opposite of the world's view. The world says, if I give it away, it's gone. God says, if you give it away, it's coming back. Three things. Are you receiving all the grace that God has for you? Are you receiving all the grace others have for you? And are you giving grace to others? Think about it. Grace. A precious commodity. Grace. Not something you can buy. Whether it's grace from God or grace from somebody else. See, grace is something you don't deserve. So if you could buy it, it's not grace. a word we really need to focus on. Grace. Grace. We sing the song. Grace, grace. God's grace. Hallelujah. We're going to take communion this morning. What a time to take communion. As we take communion, it's like God's here, here's grace. Here's grace. George is going to pass out the elements. Just hold them. And then we'll take communion. Father, we thank you. We praise you, Father, for your word. We thank you for grace, Father. God, you're an awesome God. You're a mighty God. Thank you, Father. God, when we deserve nothing, Father, you came and you gave us everything. God, there was nothing we could do. There was nothing we could do to earn what you have given to us freely. So we thank you for grace. We thank you for your grace. And Father, I just seal this word this morning in our hearts. God, that we don't take your grace lightly. We take it reverently, Lord God. We just value so much grace. And Father, as we prepare to take communion, God, would you just speak to each one of us, Father, about grace, Lord.